Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your Bibles this morning and join me once again in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 5. And as you're making your way there, I want you to pat yourself on the back real quick. Go ahead and do that. No, seriously, pat yourself on the back. You have made it through the book of 1 John after we finish up today, all right? So what an incredible thing for us to be able to walk through this letter that John wrote. And one of the things that I love to do and that you have come, I hope, to love as well is that Sunday after Sunday, our typical diet in God's Word is to walk through a particular book. And so we have walked through a number of books since I've been your pastor, and we will finish up 1 John this week, and as you saw in the announcement video, we will move back to the Old Testament. We want to get a steady diet across both Old and New Testaments, and so we're going to go to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, and so in your time with the Lord, I would encourage you over the next 4 weeks to spend some time in the book of Jonah. There are only four chapters, and you can read all of the book of Jonah in about 15 minutes. And so it's an incredible book as we consider what it means for us to live on mission for God in the place that He's called us to serve Him. As we look at 1 John chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 13, and we're going to go through the end, verse 21. And so here's what I want to do. I want to read the text for us this morning. And I want to pray for us, and then we will unpack it together. John writes, "I write these things to you, that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask God, and He will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death, and I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and is giving us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Father, we ask in these next moments that we have together that You would open our eyes so that we would see, that You would open our ears that we would hear, that You would open our hearts that we'd be ready to respond to Your Word and to Your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. One of the things that I love to do as a dad of two little girls, 1 9, 1 6, and I've done this for a while. There are moments, whether it's before they go to bed at night or whether we're just sitting on the couch or something, that I will look at one of our girls, either Anna or Leah, and I'll say certain things to them, and I always get the same response from them. So I'll say something like this, and dads, I'm sure many of you do this, moms, you do this. I'll look at Anna, and I'll say, "Baby, do you know how much Daddy loves you?" And you know what her response is? "Daddy, I know, I know." I'll look at Leah and I'll say, "Can I tell you something?" She'll say, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know that you are my favorite Leah in the whole wide world?" And we get the same response, "Daddy, I know." And here's the reason that I do that in some sense, because I know that a day is going to come when they're probably not going to want to hear that, though they're going to continue to hear that. And then there's going to be days that come where some knucklehead teenage boy, you know where I'm going with that, right? I used to be one, so I know we say dumb things. And I want them to know that Daddy loves them and that they are precious to him. But their response is the same. Daddy, I know. As we read through the text this morning, what you saw in there was that word know, not N-O, but K-N-O-W. John wants us and his early readers to know some truths about what he's written. You see, for us as believers, we need to know what is true about what Jesus has done for us. We need to know the truth of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We need to know the truth of what it means that we were dead in sin, but we've been rescued because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We need to know certain things. And kind of by the end, I mean, I'm reading this and I'm looking and I've been studying it this week and I'm sitting back going, I know, much like my girls do. Daddy, I know. And yet I want them to be reminded constantly of the truth of what we should know. Because you and I are easily distracted and knocked off course by our feelings. You ever notice that? In the Christian life, we talked about it a little bit last week, but there are moments when we just don't feel like God loves us. There's moments when we just don't feel like we're really following after Him. There's moments when we just don't feel like we're growing in our walk with Christ. And here's the thing that we need to be able to stake claim is the truth of God's Word. We need to be able to, in our lives as believers, to stake claim to the things that we should know are true. And so that's what I want us to do this morning. It's what John wants us to do this morning as he writes these words. He wants us to know what is true. Here's the thing I love about John. He's getting ready to close out this book, and he just keeps going back over what he's already talked about, like a good preacher, right? I had my pastor growing up when I went to preach my first sermon. He said, I didn't know what I was doing. I was 13 years old. I've told you before that it was the shortest sermon. Went 7 minutes, and that's only because I preached it twice. I had an old guy come up to me at the end of the service and put his arm around me, and he said, son, I just want to tell you something. I've never heard a person in the world complain about a short sermon. My pastor said, when you stand up to preach, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. That's what John's doing here. He wants us to understand all that he has written up until this point. He's summing it up for us, things that we should know as followers of Jesus. And here's the first one. So if you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. We know that we have eternal life through Jesus. We know that we have eternal life through Jesus. John writes this in verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may, what? All right, we got to do better than that or it's going to be a long Sunday. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Here's the thing for us as believers here this morning. If we've trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, we placed our faith and trust in Him. Here's what we know. We know that we have eternal life. There's no question about that. There's no confusion about that. We are confident in the truth, in the fact that we know if we placed our faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, that we have eternal life. One of the things that as we spent time with the kids this week is we wanted those who did not know that truth and who had not experienced the truth of placing their faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, we wanted them to know that. We had 10 who responded to that. What a privilege it is for us as a church family that we've now have 10 kids because of this past week at VBS who know this truth. And I hope you know this truth. As we sit here this morning, I don't want to gloss over the fact that you may be here and you're trying to figure out this church thing, and maybe you came because your kids came to VBS, but here's what we want you to know. One of the things that is true is that Jesus died on the cross to save you and to save me from our sin. And if we place our faith and trust in Him from salvation, we know that we will receive eternal life. John writes in verse 13, wanting us to know that we have eternal life through Jesus. Verse 14 and 15, John wants us to know another truth. So not only eternal life through Jesus, but he also wants us to know that God hears and answers our prayers. Look at verse 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything, you start scratching your head there. I was driving through Lakewood Ranch the other day and saw a Ferrari. Anything, right? Don't miss the next part. According to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. So we know the truth that if we've trusted in Jesus for salvation, we've received eternal life. But here's the other thing that's true for us. We know that because we are a son or daughter of God, that when we pray, God hears us and He responds to our prayers. Now, if you notice what John says here, there's something that we have to pray in accordance, John says, with God's will. Meaning that we've got to be walking with God and know what God's desires and God's plans and God's hopes and dreams for us are, so that when we pray and we ask God to move and to work, we are praying in accordance with His will. So as much as I would love a candy apple red Ferrari, that's not God's will for me. And so if I were to ask God for that, that would not make a whole lot of sense. But what do we know that God wants? God wants people to be saved. So if we're praying for the salvation of someone that we know that doesn't know Jesus, we know, we have confidence that God is at work in that person's life. That God often opens doors for us as we pray prayers like that, for us to share the truth of who Jesus is with them. That when we encounter people who are sick in our lives, people who are walking through difficulties, and we pray for them in accordance with God's will, that God hears those prayers and that He answers those prayers. You may sit back and you say, gosh, Michael, I've been praying for something for a long, long time, and I just don't feel like God is hearing me. If you're a child of God, here's the confidence that you have. We know that if we pray in accordance with God's will, He hears us. John just said. And that He answers our prayers. Now, He might not answer our prayers the way we think the answer should be, but God answers our prayers. God is at work in the world and in our lives, and when we pray as His children, God hears us and He answers our prayers. I want you to notice the next truth that we're going to see this morning. So the first one was, we know that we have eternal life through Jesus.
We know that God hears and answers our prayers, but here's the third truth, and it's in verses 16 through 18. We know that our lives have been radically transformed. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning and you've trusted in Him for salvation, He has transformed your life. Beginning in verse 16, this is what John writes, "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death." There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now, I want us to unpack this truth as it relates to verse 18 first, and then we're going to walk back through 16 and 17, because verse 18 gives us some clarity where verses 16 and 17 may lead us a little bonkers if we're not careful, okay? So here's what I want us to understand, this truth that our lives are radically transformed. Because John says in verse 18, we, what? Know that everyone who has been born of God, that's one who has trusted in Jesus for salvation, we know that that person does not keep on sinning. John had written about this previously, that our lives as believers should be marked by radical obedience to God every single day. Now, are we going to continue to sin and fall into sin? Yes, we are, but we've been forgiven of those sins, and the push, the drive for us is to walk in obedience with the Lord. So our lives have been radically transformed from walking in sin now to walking in obedience to the Lord. And here's why that's possible, how that works. He who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So here's the thing that you and I, if we're followers of Jesus this morning, have. We have protection from God as we walk in obedience to Him, from Satan, who would do everything he could to destroy our walk with the Lord. You see this played out in the Scriptures most prominently, I believe, when Peter is prayed for by Jesus. You remember this scene? It's prior to Jesus going to the cross, and Jesus says to Peter, "Hey, Peter, there's something Satan wants. He wants to sift you, to test you." And Jesus says, "But I want you to know, Peter, I've prayed for you." That protection that Jesus prayed over Peter as he walked through that difficulty, that trial, that sifting of Satan, which is exactly what Satan wants to do in the life of a believer. We have the confidence that our lives have been radically transformed, not only that we've been saved, but also that Jesus offers for us protection from Satan and what he would desire to do. Now, we know what happened with Peter, right? Denied Jesus three times. But we also know what happened on the back end of that. Jesus on the beaches with Peter after he's raised from the dead says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." "Then I've got a job for you. Tend my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" He asks Peter that question three times. The same number of times that Peter had denied Jesus, and he gives him the same command that he would tend his sheep. And who is it that God uses in a miraculous way on the day of Pentecost to preach the gospel? It's Peter. That protection that Jesus prayed over Peter, it worked. He experienced a moment where he turned from the Lord, but he turned back towards him. Our lives have been radically transformed. Now, if you back up to verse 16, this is an interesting couple of verses here, 16 and 17. And I want to try to unpack these for us so that we have a clear understanding of what John is saying here. He says, "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death. He shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. Now here's a couple of things that we notice about what's going on in verse 16. First, John says, if anyone sees his brother, which means very clearly that John's talking about a believer taking note of another believer and what's going on in their life. I think all of us have experienced moments when people that we knew who were walking with the Lord, for whatever reason, decided for a period of time not to walk with the Lord. There's sin that's present in their life. Whatever that sin may be, but it's causing difficulty in their walk with the Lord. They're not able to walk with the Lord the way God intended for them to walk. And here, John says, we, as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, should pray for that fellow believer who is in sin. Now, if you notice, he doesn't say that we should talk about him. Did you get that? He doesn't say that we should put him down. He doesn't say that we should treat them differently. In fact, what he says here is that we should pray for them. That when there's a fellow brother or sister who is in sin, that we should pray for them. Now here he talks about a sin not leading to death. And we're going to get to that here in just a minute because he's going to talk about a sin that does lead to death. And theologians have wrestled with one another over exactly what that means. And clearly, since I'm here this morning, we've got it figured out, okay? Does that sound good? He says, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. And then he makes a clarification in verse 17. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. What is John talking about? Sin that leads to death versus sin that doesn't lead to death. Well, if you notice, when he talks about sin leading to death, he doesn't refer to the person that is involved in that as a fellow believer. Doesn't call them brother as he does in the first part. And so in the context of John's letter here, I want to remind us of one of the difficulties that they were experiencing early on here in this group of believers, that there were false teachers who had been among these believers, but who had begun to teach and to preach a false gospel. Remember that Jesus was not really the Son of God at all. And in this moment, what John's saying is that these people who are doing that, the prayer for them is not the same prayer that you would pray for a fellow believer in sin. A fellow believer who is in sin, you pray that God would deliver them from that sin, that they would once again rekindle that relationship with Him the way that they were intended to live. But here, what he's saying is, that's not the prayer that you're praying for those who have committed what he says here is a sin that leads to death. Now, here's the question we have to ask. What sin leads to death? Well, let's back up and say, all sin that's not forgiven by Jesus leads ultimately to eternal death, right? This means yes, okay? All sin that's not repented of, that's not turned from, that's not forgiven, leads to death. And so here, what John wants them to understand is this truth, that those who were in the midst of this church that were teaching or preaching a false gospel, he says previously that were there, but they had gone out from us because they were not of us. He says, listen, there's a different prayer that we pray for them. It's the prayer that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ because they don't have a relationship with him at all. He says in verse 17 that all wrongdoing is sin. John's not excusing sin. All wrongdoing is sin. All sin has to be forgiven by Jesus if we're going to experience eternal life. But when a fellow brother or sister is caught in sin, one who has trusted in Jesus, we pray that they would be delivered, that they would come to the point of being ready to confess their sin and repent from that. But for one who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, we're not praying and asking that they would get better. They need to be saved. That's a different prayer. That's a different approach. That's what John wants us to understand. For those of us who are believers, for those in our midst who may be in sin, we should pray for them. For those who don't know Jesus, the prayer for them is different. That they would come to know Him as Lord and Savior. There's no person, and John has already said this, that's too far gone that God can't change their heart. There's no person that you meet or that I meet that has done so much that God can't forgive them. Jesus' death on the cross is able to cover all sin. The question is whether a person will turn from their sin and trust Jesus for salvation. That's the prayer for those who don't know Jesus that we should be praying. I want you to notice in verse 19, a fourth truth that John says we should know. Somebody say four. Like a good preacher, I usually keep it to three, but we're going to hit six this week, so that doesn't mean you get to skip next Sunday, all right? Verse 19, this is what John wants us to understand. We know that God is our heavenly Father and that we have an enemy. We know that God is our heavenly Father and that we have an enemy. Verse 19. We know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It's a constant reminder that we need as followers of Jesus that God is our heavenly Father, but that we live in a world that at this moment in time, Satan has been given an opportunity to wreak havoc in the world in which we live. John has talked about this before, that there is a worldly system that is set up against God and against God's plans and God's rule and God's reign, and that Satan is doing everything he can to carry that to the end. We know, as we talked last week, that he loses in the end. That's the victory that we have in Christ, the victory that Jesus has secured for us. But as we walk through this life, we have to be reminded that we live in a world that is set up against God and His rule and His reign. But that He, John says here, is our heavenly Father. We are from Him. I want you to notice in verse 20, this fifth truth that John tells us that he wants us to know. We know that Jesus is God's Son and salvation is found in Him. So what he says, we, what, verse 20? And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now you say, Michael, didn't he already say that at the beginning in verse 13? That we have eternal life through Jesus? He did. And we need to know that truth, but here he wants us to know that Jesus is the Son of God and that through Him, salvation is possible. You say, well, we already know that because we've experienced that, right? And that's what he said in verse 13. So what's the purpose of him repeating himself here? Very simple. This is not just for us. The truth of who Jesus is and that salvation is possible through Him, don't forget, church, that is the good news that we're supposed to share with the world. We've experienced it. We've been transformed. Our lives have been radically changed. We know that we're children of God. We know that we have a heavenly Father. But listen to me, church. There are thousands of people in our community and millions around the world who don't have that. And John wants us to know that that truth, that Jesus is the Son of God and that salvation is made possible through Him, we need to know that and we need to share that. See, the truth is that there are people that you're going to encounter day in and day out in your workplace, at your school, in your neighborhood, who don't know the truth of who Jesus is and that salvation is through Him. And the only way that they're going to hear it is if you tell them. See, if we know the truth and we've experienced the truth and we've understood the truth and we've enjoyed the truth of what Jesus has done for us, how in the world could we not tell people about it? If we know what it takes for someone to experience what we've experienced, and that's salvation through Jesus, doesn't it make sense for us as those who have experienced that to want to say to someone else, let me tell you about what God's done in my life. Let me tell you how you can experience salvation. Let me tell you what transformation has taken place in my life. I have no doubt in my mind that there's someone in this moment that has popped into your mind that you know needs to hear the truth of what Jesus has done in your life. And if you don't tell them, who will? We can enjoy coming together. We can enjoy worshiping together. We can enjoy what we've experienced in Christ. But can I tell you this? Jesus didn't say when He left the earth, hey guys, y'all sit down and just enjoy what you got. I say it this way. Oftentimes people show up at church, they sit and they soak and they sour. We should sit and we should soak and then we should be sent out so that someone else gets to hear the truth of what Jesus has done in our lives. Why does John repeat it? Because we should repeat it. We should be the first who have experienced the magnificent grace of God. We should be the first ones ready to share that with other people. The last truth this morning, number 6, comes in verse 21. It's interesting to me that John closes out his letter in this way. He's gone through things that we know, 5 up until this point, but then he closes out in verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's kind of a downer, isn't it? I mean, after all that he said, things that we know, truths that we can stake our lives on, and then he closes with, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why? Here's what John wants us to understand. Here's what he wants us to know, that there is a constant battle for our heart and for our affections in the Christian life. We will worship every single moment of every single day. The question remains for us as followers of Jesus, whom or what are we worshiping? Satan is doing everything he can in your life and in my life to get us to worship something or someone besides God. We have to know that we are in a constant battle, and we have to be on guard as followers of Jesus, that our heart and our affections and our worship is directed towards God. And if that's the case in our lives, all of the other things that we've talked about, walking in obedience with God, sharing the gospel with other people, if we can get this right, if we can direct our heart and our affections and our worship towards God day in and day out, we're going to walk in obedience with Him. We're going to share the gospel with people that don't know Jesus. That is where John knows the crux of all of what he's shared with us rests. Will we keep ourselves and our heart and our affections and our worship directed towards God and what He's done through His Son Jesus and what He's continuing to do? Or will it be directed in some other way? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth that it proclaims. We thank You for the fact that we as followers of Jesus can know that we have eternal life, that we can know that we can, that You hear our prayers and that You answer them, that we know that You've radically transformed our lives, that we know that You've given us a mission to share what You've done in our lives with other people, and that we know that there's a constant battle for our heart, for our affections, for our worship. Lord, may we as Your followers this morning, may we stake our lives on what we know is true. May it direct our steps. May it guard our hearts. May it motivate and encourage us to walk in obedience with You and to share the truth of what You've done in our lives with others. Father, if there's one here this morning that has never experienced salvation through Jesus, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. That they would recognize who Jesus is and what He's done and what He offers to them. A free gift of salvation that they simply need to receive. Lord, we thank You for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you will. Give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord. You can come down and pray if you'd like to. If you'd like to talk with someone about what it means to follow Jesus, I'd love to share with you. You can grab me in the back. I'd love to talk with you about that. You respond this morning as the Lord leads.